United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Thank you. Well, good afternoon and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and I hope you're having a good day. I've been having a technical difficulty here, and you're going to have to hold on because I just lost my headset, which doesn't make sense. So give me a minute, and I'll be right back. Well, we'll try this again. Again, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Want to hear from you today. It's open mic. Jeff will be in a little bit and soon. And we're still talking about what's going on in the world today. And Trayvon Martin keeps on coming back up to the forefront. It looks like there was some unrest in Los Angeles somewhere. And I want to talk about that a little bit. It's bothering me. Having conversations with many diversities of people, whether they be black or white, social economic incomes, and trying to find a medium to where people can have a intelligent conversation about different cultures and what people think and what people know and what people believe has been very, very difficult. I even got a call from Alex saying, well, you guys, what they're saying is not to the mainstream of what's really happening. And I'm like, but it is. You know, people don't realize that everything's not based around race, but everything is based around race. Or should I say it this way? Everything's not based around racism, but everything is based around race in a lot of ways. And there's a lot of people who make a lot of money on dissension and keeping the community at odds with each other and not making them unified. Because as long as we are no longer talking to them, we're talking to other people. And when we talk to other people, we are not listening to what they want us to know. And people don't want peace. People, you know, people don't want people to live in harmony. And it sounds good on paper. It sounds good when we say it. But in actuality, if you really listen, we really don't want that. We want dissension. We want people to not get along. Because if we did, they would have stopped things earlier. They would have, you know, I look at what's going on in Los Angeles. They would have stopped that long time ago. They had time. I mean, the verdict came out on Saturday night. They had time to plan a plan and work the plan if they chose that they wanted to do that. But people don't want that. And we need to become grown up enough to realize that people do not want us to live independent, in harmony, at peace. It's kind of sad. And we need to teach our young people, both black and white, how to deal with confrontation in a different manner. A friend of mine said to me this morning, he said, well, if Trayvon Martin, he said, you know, he turned around and he beat him down. I said, well, he had to come up on him. There's more to this. There's no way that you can follow me and then I can attack you because and then me be charged and me be the one that's guilty because I beat you down. You can shoot me, but it's okay. It just doesn't work out that way. It just doesn't. You know, you should have stayed your little happy tail in your truck, or you should have stopped where you in your tracks and said, 911, this is what it is. Here he is, and should not have tried to be, RoboCop, because you're definitely not. And we need to be honest about that. You know, we need to say there's something wrong with this. There's just something wrong with. You know, I'm following you, and for him to be that close to him where he can cold cock him and make him feel my pain and cry like a kid because he was close enough to me for me to do that when he had just called and said, I'm up to no good. why would you be that close to him? That doesn't make sense to me. And so, but the reaction of this, there is a better way to skin this cat, and how people are taking this and made this personalized, and I know it could be any of us, but then if you want to know the truth about it, it could be any of us on a lot of things that we're not paying attention to. Hey, Alabama, how you doing, honey?
What's going on?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm perplexed because I keep on having this conversation with people about what's been going on, and people don't tend to get it. They really, really don't tend to get this. They're not paying
attention. What happened? What happened in California? What happened?
I guess they were protesting and it went violent. That's what I'm assuming from what I'm reading.
I want to say something about that. There are types of ignorance, I feel. You can be ignorant of a subject and just not know. You can be emphatically ignorant, and then you can be just, like, stupidly ignorant. Like, what I mean is that there's a rapper that got killed. An Atlanta rapper got killed because he talked about being a thug. And so he went out of California and got shot as soon as he got off the airplane saying, I think his name was Dollar, because he said he's rapping about our lifestyle. And Plies, the rapper, they fronted him on some stuff, saying, well, he can't say he a thug. These are still supremely ignorant, like, stupid people. So I'm not surprised that I expect stuff to take place like that. Just like I expect in Chicago stuff to take place. That's why I would love for Alex to call, because I was reading his Facebook post about how people are tripping about the black-on-black crime, so-called, he said, black-on-black crime being worse when white people commit crimes. Yeah, but I can't remember the last time 76 white people killed each other. I mean, not in one weekend shot, unless we're talking about the Revolutionary War. When was the last time that happened? Okay, you know what I'm saying? I mean, when was the last time you seen 76 people, white people, shot in a weekend in one city? Just name it.
I haven't. But the question
There's a special type of ignorance for people like that. You have to, you're getting along the lines of being an animal when you're talking about that many people. Like, there's a lack of intellectual reasoning in your brain. You have to say that.
But there isn't. You know, we don't think before we act. We're very, very emotional. And emotional people need to control their emotions. We need to be honest about that. I'm very, very emotional. So I know that I have to be careful in what I do and where I go, because I can fly off a handle easily. And that's not a good thing. So I have to be very, very careful in controlling my emotions. And a lot of women are like that. You know, not just me, but you know, women in general. We are very, very emotional people. And so
let me add something to that. Like, what's his face? The Economist, Thomas Sowell, wrote a book called, I think it was about white rednecks or something like that. Something like that, yeah. He talked about. In that book, he talked about the black rednecks. He talked about the culture of how African-Americans that lived in the South assimilated the culture of Southern, what is it? Not Ireland, the one of Scotland and Northern England slave owners. They were considered like we are today. They were quick to violence. A lot of things that they took on, the traits that they had back in the day, that's why Southerners that moved up north were discriminated against. White Southerners that moved up north were discriminated against because of their culture, the way they carried themselves. So a lot of what you see in the African-American community today comes from those things. Because if you have blacks that were in the northern states and in other areas that weren't exposed to that, they didn't have those cultural traits. And then, but the diaspora of Southerners, once we had all these great migrations in the 50s and stuff, it changed. So that has a lot to do with it, too. It's a cultural thing.
So you've got to control your emotions. You've got to control your outcomes. I just can't, you know, even though you've done something wrong to me or I feel violated, I just can't haul off and knock the crap out of you. And when I look at Trayvon Martin, the problem with the Trayvon Martin trial is we have created the victim and made him the predator.
Trayvon may have stolen. I think I'm gonna put it like this. I believe he chased Trayvon. I will say Trayvon probably cussed, man, why the F you following me, this, that. He probably did say that. But that doesn't mean he deserves to die. And he may have even said something back. I'm sure Zimmerman said something. They got in a little word, and then Trayvon just did him in real quick. That's what happened. I don't think Trayvon's just completely 100% innocent, but I do believe in the grand scheme of things, he was innocent.
The problem is we turned Trayvon into an assailant. That's the problem. Right now, the problem with if you listen to Anderson last night, he actually interviewed one of the jurors, and the problem is they looked at Trayvon as being guilty of doing something that he necessarily did not do. He was defending himself based upon the outcomes of what was going on.
Well, if Trayvon was innocent and Trayvon hadn't broken into anyone's house and he ran, then it's safe to understand he maybe ran because he didn't know who this guy was following him. So, the jurors are just straight out bloody racist to me. I mean, there's just no other way to really look at it. No.
See, that's where I disagree. I don't think they're racist. I think they're ignorant because, remember, most of these people do not have people that are black as their friends.
But when
and
I
that
say
doesn't
racist,
make
I mean,
me a racist.
They're prejudiced. Exactly.
Correct. They're prejudiced. But then if you look at my Facebook page and some of, you know, I got people posting stuff that the Black Panther said 3 years ago. Talking about stop the hate. What the heck are you talking about? We don't pay attention to the Black Panthers, so why are you? They're not real Black Panthers. That's just straight up ignorance and prejudice.
No, real Black Panthers was breaking into prisons and getting folks, breaking into prisons, taking folks out. Them the real, you know, the ones, they strapped up with guns and did some stuff. They was different. They were different. These guys today just talk, most of them, 99% of them.
They got Black Panthers going on right now. I'm like, who? They ain't real. They ain't Huey Lewis. They ain't none of them people. Why are you talking to them? Why are you even paying attention to them? They dressed up in a suit, got a name, and trying to carry something, and don't know what the heck they're doing. The real Black Panthers started Head Start. Alex, your mic is on.
Good afternoon, Tracy.
Good afternoon, Alex.
Yeah, I was listening to you, and I heard my name spoken by Mr. Alabama. So I called to clarify some things.
All right.
Yeah, you know, as I was listening to you yesterday, and you guys were talking about, well, you know, all this focus on Trayvon, what about black-on-black violence? And the thing is this. If you look at the Department of Justice report, and I can send it to everybody here or whoever wants it. Whenever there's a crime committed or there's murder, whatever, if it's a white person, most of the time it's committed by another white person. 84% of white people are killed or killed by another white person. And so, you know, nobody says, well, what about the white on white crime? Because it's stupid to say something like that, and everybody knows it. But when it comes to black people, we want to pretend like there's something wrong with them or something different with them. When any other group of people, whether it's Hispanic or white, when they are under the same conditions, socioeconomic and environment and all that, they act the same way that we do. Simple as that. And so I'm just tired of hearing about, well, about the black-on-black crime. Yeah, most black people killed are going to be killed by other black people, the same way with Hispanics, same way with whites, or whatever, because people commit crimes against other people that they're most familiar with, and that's just it.
I agree with what you were just saying, but I feel like the frequency of crime that takes place in the black community is higher, and I do think it's because of the reasons that you just stated. But there still should be indignation over a six-month-old baby getting shot too, just like there should be. And I agree that there should be indignation over Trayvon, but people do not. They don't really care about the 6-month-old as much as they care about the fact that a so-called white man shot this guy. I think you should be upset about both, just as upset. That's all I'm saying.
Well, okay. I'm upset about all crime, but let's be clear about something here. This kind of sets almost a reverse precedent, puts us back where, you know, it's hard to feel comfortable as a black man and feel secure, you know, feel like your human rights are respected when if you're just suspected of something by a white person, they can just shoot you down, kill you in the street, and that's the reason why there's this outcry. And it's very surprising that you don't feel that being an African American man, because obviously your human rights aren't respected either. You're no different from Trayvon.
But Alex, there's no this is nothing new.
Exactly.
That I thought that was okay to kill this guy for walking. I just said that a minute ago. I didn't think that was right. And quite frankly, if somebody hurts this guy, he deserves it, because he harmed an innocent guy. And I don't think that you should be able to bother someone, a pedestrian walking, minding his business because he quote unquote doesn't belong. What is doesn't belong? I can not belong, and I'm walking to where I belong. If you leave me alone, I'll be where I belong in a few minutes. So, I mean, just outright stupidity like that, yeah, I think that's stupid. I think we do need to change the laws to where you can't just kill someone. Even if the standing your ground law was applicable, he broke it by pursuing the guy. That's why this jury, this is a bogus trial. There's just no way that those jurors should have come to that conclusion unless there is some prejudice against Trayvon being a black male.
That's an Alabama. If you listen to the juror last night, you can clearly see that there was a prejudgment, because like I said a few minutes ago, the problem with the situation is they turned Trayvon into a assaultant or assailant, should I say. That's the problem. So Trayvon no longer became the victim. Trayvon became the assailant, and he was defending himself against someone getting beat, and he was no longer the predator.
But if you're both in the public eye, you're both outside in the public, and you pursue me, and then I defend myself, and you haven't identified yourself, I don't see how you still have the right to be called a defendee. You're defending yourself.
You're not
defending yourself pursuing someone, and I quite frankly think he called a boy a coon. I just do. So I just don't see it.
The problem is we allow this to happen from the beginning. We allow ourselves to be turned into combatives. We allow them to portray African-American males as violently combative men.
I don't think we allow
and
it.
We
I
do.
Think we glorify
Pardon
it.
Me? That's what I'm saying. We promote it, we glorify it, and we have allowed the society to turn women into bitches and hoes and angry black women and our men into violent predators. And they'll always be assailant. So a black man always. That's why when you get pulled over, and especially about 10, 15 years ago, that's why when black folks got pulled over, they always had your face down in the dirt for a traffic violation. They set imaging and precedent right there. And instead of us taking this as a momentum to change laws against violence, change perception of what we're doing, what we do is we allow the media, and the media chose this case to come to the forefront. This was not something that we went out and sought. It came to us from MSNBC and Al Sharpton. And they put this case on the forefront, not because they cared about us, but because they're trying to control us. And they're doing a very, very good job of it. And they're trying to make sure that we do not assimilate into mainstream, because they've got to keep you where you are so that they can control you. Because control and racism makes money. It influences power. And not your power, but they take your power and influence everybody else, and they make money off of it. And they've got to continue to keep you where you are. You are a commodity. And as long as we play into their mindset, we always lose. Private caller, your mic is on. Private caller, your mic is on.
Tracy, this is Lisa. I called yesterday from California.
Hi, Lisa.
I wanted to say, as California goes, please don't believe the hype. It was a mass riot. It wasn't any looting, you know, or anything like that. So please don't believe that hype. And also, too, as far as how we're portrayed, sometimes, too, you have to remember, as far as violence and stuff goes, white people also go. Violence. Al Capone has been dead for over 50 years. They're still talking about Jeffrey Dahmer. That's how I know all the names of all these serial killers. So it's not all
not the same.
Because Obama doesn't have his pants sagging and he still gets called a nigger. So it doesn't
matter. But not the same, Lisa.
Uneducated. It is the same. It doesn't matter.
No.
Uneducated.
Let me. You can name. You can name, you know, Dahmer. You can name Al Capone. You can name Gotti. You can name all these guys. You start naming some black violent people.
Well, according to them and according to that juror,
name me the infamous black violent people.
The DC sniper.
What's his name?
Muhammad, John Allen Muhammad.
Okay, who else?
That's it.
You follow where I'm coming from?
Oh, well, you know what? Oh, well, they did try to frame that guy for the Atlanta shooter.
Look at what happened out there in Los Angeles with a guy they burned live up there in the woods, who was the LAPD.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name?
We make
These white men to be infamous, and they become, but they're not the same, because all black men and all black women are portrayed as violent.
But who's controlling the media?
That's the question.
Jewish? Do white Jews?
Is it Jewish, or is it bigger than that?
I'm not anti-Semitic. No, I'm not trying to stop. I'm just saying, but white Jewish people control Hollywood, the media. Just about every form of media we have is controlled by white Jews. That's the bottom line.
So why is it that we follow them?
The banks, white Jews. Say it again?
We always can't blame rap music, because remember, Paula Deen was calling people niggers when rap music was invented. Because I hear a lot of blame about rap music. Who produces rap music? We don't own anything.
But guess what? Paula Deen ain't the first white person to call somebody the N-word. That ain't nothing new. So why would we go after her and she said it 20-some years ago?
You know why?
When we know that,
because we always give white people the benefit of the doubt. And then when they let us down, shock and surprise.
How did she let us down? She wasn't, what?
Oh, come on. You know, black people loved her. Oprah was even on her show.
Guess what? I'm quite sure some of my closest white friends have called somebody an N-word in some time in past history. I'm quite sure of it.
Oh, not even in past history. I mean, they probably say
that's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Why, but we keep getting so surprised. Because, Trace, I listen to you guys every day because I love the show. But sometimes you guys keep trying to educate Stitch and all the other white on black people. I mean, damn, how long you got to try to educate them?
But the same, as long as it took for as long as it takes for them to indoctrinate us and indoctrinate them. Because
but
I found out if you cut
us
all, we bleed.
It's been 400 years. If they don't know us now, we're going to take us.
They don't know. Remember, you got to understand that Jim Crow and the Black Code came into existence to keep Black people and white people separate.
But Tracy, I understand that, but they're the ones that put all the rules in place. They know very well, and they know how to
but
control
they don't,
you.
No,
they know you.
Listen. Listen, they don't know you because if they the powers that be know you, but they know both sides.
Tracy, they don't
but
want
the
know
average.
You.
But listen, the average people, the Black people don't know how to, because if Black people knew better, they'd do better. And if white people knew
Tracy,
better, they'd do better.
Tracy, let me tell you something. I was going back and forth with this white guy on Facebook because they were bringing up the Chicago, because that's what they're doing now. They're diverting Trayvon Martin cases that are going on in Chicago. And I said, well, if you're so concerned about Black violence, why don't you go to Chicago and help those good Black people fight violence? Because I go to church, I have 5 kids, I work 40 hours a week, and I don't.
Who is outside?
So that's what he told me.
Who is that? Okay. At least I had to put you on mute for a minute. I'm going to take a break, and I'll turn your mics back on during the break so you guys can have a conversation.
But
it's not
yours.
Not.
Pardon me, what'd you say, Alabama?
I see it sounds like somebody rising out there now, all them sirens and stuff.
That's what I'm saying. They sound like y'all having a blast out there. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. South Carolina, your mic is on. Lisa, your mic is on. Alex, yours is on, and so is yours, Alabama. If anybody else wants to talk, please call in and push the one button. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Let's talk for a moment about it.
Alabama, good afternoon. Tracy, I'm Tracy. California, good afternoon. Hey, I've been listening. This is Mike in South Carolina. All those sirens and stuff, they were coming to get her. That's the NSA because of what she was saying, that radical stuff.
They're coming after me. They heard me.
They heard you. They're listening. Well, President Obama promised us that he would listen to all of us. I'm sorry, he's got this campaign promise. Nobody could fault the man.
Yeah.
He would listen to all Americans. That's what he said during his campaign. if you don't keep your sense of humor, you'll go crazy.
I don't see how you can kill someone. You can kill a person who was innocent that wasn't trying to do anything but walk.
I understand.
Walk to the house, and then they're dead, and you get off innocent. And these jurors actually can show their face in public. They should need. They should have to move out the country.
I at least, if I were the prosecutor, I would have included at least a lesser charge of contributory negligence or contributory manslaughter. Because if Zimmerman did get out of his car and follow him, none of this would have happened. You know, even if you could make the case.
Hey, tell California, her mic is loud, man. I can't hear nothing nobody saying, well, her mic open.
I'm sorry. Sounds like somebody's eating. Oh, there you go. I'm sorry, Alabama.
Alex.
Yeah. Hey.
What you why would you? Well, I mean, what's the disparity between what people are saying about Chicago and Trayvon. Like, I mean, what? I think they're both messed up. I don't think that a person should look at one and say, oh, well, you can't just say, I'm not belittling the Trayvon situation by citing, I do think there is a lot of hypocrisy over Chicago. I think people are blind to Chicago more so than they are to Trayvon because he's black. I mean, because Zimmerman wasn't black. If Zimmerman was black, would there be such an outrage? No.
Yeah, there would
be. So there is a problem.
Under the same conditions, there would be, because here's
black
here's
on black crime doesn't get the same media attention that is. I mean, you don't have Miami Heat members posing for hoodies and stuff with over a black on black crime. If that's the case, tons of people just in my hometown that kill black people all the time that should make national attention. Rarely, I've never seen a national story of a black on black situation.
I mean, I have, like when forget that athlete in North Carolina attempted to kill his girlfriend or wife or whatever. She was pregnant.
Ray Carruth.
Yeah, I think that was his name.
He was an athlete in the NFL, wide receiver. That's different.
Okay.
I'm talking about an actual normal situation like this that gets this much attention.
Well, let me explain my issue with this, with the whole thing. I am outraged about Chicago as well, okay, and just about every urban setting. But when you normalize the data for prohibition, the number of homicides that black people commit is in proportion to their percentage in the population. Over 70% of all homicides committed by black people are prohibition related. It's related to the drugs. And so the thing is that it's not really a question of person. You know, when people talk about this, it's like what they're really trying to do is analyze the victim of white supremacy, of racism, because they're trying to blame blacks for their own problems, for conditions that they did not create. And so by doing that, they say, well, look at how they're acting, blah, blah, blah. But when white people are under those same conditions, they react the same way. But the thing about it is that because of the racism ingrained in this country, their humanity of black people is not respected. And as simple as that. When the same rampant violence in general and criminality was rampant in the white community with the prohibition of alcohol, what did they do? They didn't say, well, you need to have personal responsibility. No, they changed the law. But when it affects us like that, oh, you need to have this personal responsibility. What the hell's wrong with you black people? And so it's that discrepancy of basically not respecting other people's
health. I won't even argue with you. I do feel like if you move up the economic ladder, the more you move up, the less more prone you are to crime. I agree with that. I mean, I can't argue with that. I'm just saying.
Well, it's not even economic ladder. I mean, in all independent studies that have studied drug use has shows that black and white people use drugs equally. Your drug usage is the same, and no matter what community, Hispanic, black, white, whatever. I mean, white people use a broader range of drugs, but the same percentage of people use drugs. But the enforcement of drugs, over 80% of drug enforcement is in low-income black neighborhoods, and that's the reason. And that's the reason why all these stressors in that environment creates the criminality that we see. And that's the only thing. And so, but nobody cares because nobody respects the humanity of black people.
I can't argue with you, but you're saying it's almost like I mean, I agree that they are focusing 80% of their energies on the black African-American communities. I believe that that's on purpose. I don't think that that's a mistake. I think it's planned. Just like I think social programs and what they're doing to communities, I think that was on purpose. I think they knew from the jump what it was going to do. But my problem is, look, you can pull a ton of dope into the black community in an 18-wheeler, 10 tons of it, have it in the back. You can pull that gate open. If I choose to go into that 18-wheeler, get that dope and go sell it, I still have to take responsibility, whether I want to or not. Whether my economic, I'm from the hood just like most black people are. So it's like I still, at the end of the day, I do have to take responsibility for my actions. I have to. And so, yeah, but us being poor, us being economically disenfranchised, all these different things are factors. I agree. But
it's not about,
look,
it's
you're
not
talking
about
to somebody
economic.
That barely got out of high school with a 2.0 GPA, and I still went and did something with my life. I struggle sometimes to understand that aspect of it. It's like, it's not your fault. What people like, what those people that are doing these crimes here, when you hear you talk, is it's not your fault. Continue to sell dope, continue to kill, continue to have babies out of wedlock, continue to drop out of school, continue to do these things, and blame the white man. Don't blame your own actions. That's what I hear when I hear you talk.
But hold on, guys. I'm back. Go ahead, Alex. Make your point.
Here's the thing. If you remove the prohibition, then you will remove all the criminality. All those things that you complain about won't happen anymore. So, again, it goes back to respecting people's humanity. And the humanity of black people is not respected.
Alex, but again, okay, to get respect, you got to give it. And
no.
Somewhere in the
no,
last...
See, it,
hold on. Somewhere in the last 50 years, somewhere in this integration part of black history, civil rights, and somewhere along the way, we have lost self-respect and respect for the people that are, and I'm not talking about the white man, I'm talking about internally in your own family. We have lost that. We have lost the sense of decency, and so I understand that if you take away the criminal element of things, things could change. Yeah, that's fine, well and good. I understand all that, but what has happened is we have lost all respect for not only just myself, but for the people that are in my own home. There is no reason that a man should go out and father children and walk away.
But not just that, though, Tracy. Also, I want to know, like, statistically, if you go back and look at the African-American community, crime was at a much lower rate, and we were just as poor, if not poorer, than we are now.
Oh, we were a whole lot poorer.
Because it has nothing to do with social economics. I'm trying to explain that to y'all. You know, listen.
Alex, we're listening.
The situation that you're saying that caused the crime today has been there in the past, and it wasn't there before. What was
the
difference?
Start to the mid-80s. The war on drugs did not start until the 80s.
You have to understand, you got to go back to 1960, Alex. You've got to go to Johnson. Hold on. Local call, your mic is on.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, hi. I'd like to say how wonderful God is in our beautiful universe, even though we are warned in our Bible. But when you go to a commercial, I flip the stations, and I just heard something alarm. Did you happen to catch Piers Morgan last night? He interviewed – I missed it.
The juror.
Pardon?
When he interviewed – I missed Piers. I caught Anderson Cooper.
Okay, Gentile was on. Is that her name, Gentile?
The young girl who testified?
Yes.
Yes.
And from what I'm hearing, it is not about racial. It is more like, for what she said on the phone before he died, remember rape was mentioned? He was afraid he was going to be raped, and it could be more of a gay thing. And that's what, all of a sudden it went off in my head. That's how I'm seeing it now. Because she also mentioned about generation gap or the younger generation. Remember how you got to follow how she's talking now.
You're right. Race did not come in until the media brought race in. That was that, like I said earlier, that was that MSNBC thing when they went down there and they interjected race into it. And race
right.
always... But race became into it, but you have to understand the verdict has a lot to do with racism and prejudices.
Yes.
And that's where we fail to realize he may not have gotten followed or gotten hurt because he was black. But when they interjected race into it, if it was a white young boy shot by and beat down and then shot by a black man, 9 times out of 10 the verdict would be different.
Right. And there's lots to consider here and more to realize. I lost my train of thought. It's so hot today. I'm sitting in the car because I was so anxious to call you. I love your show.
Thank you.
And truth matters here. And I feel as though that community, a couple points, because I know you've got other callers, it should have been well lit, more lights. It was so dark that bothers me. If he wanted to be somebody and carry a gun in a neighborhood watch, he should have identified himself. But most of all, this wouldn't have happened if he was stayed in his car. And you know what? Every action, there's a reaction. And he followed him and scared him. So I feel that would provoke me, too. You see?
We understand.
Yes.
We understand that. The problem is, we've got, it's a small view of a bigger picture.
Saw this other angle, and God bless Chantel, and God bless everybody.
We appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a smaller view of a bigger picture, and we need to be honest about that. This is not new to us. Being followed is not new to black men. Being followed by the police is not new. Being accused of something that you didn't do was not new. That's
where Alex actually shows up.
Alex is still there.
I just wanted him to explain. So you're saying that the raising of police presence in the community causes crime. What caused the crime specifically? I understand the darker lines, the CIA dumping of drugs in the community. I agree with that. I believe that. But what are you saying specifically are the precursors that caused this situation?
Okay. First and foremost, everybody knows every urban setting, any city you go to, they know that police are one of the biggest importers of drugs into the community. Same people locking us up for drugs, they also bring it in. That's fact one. Okay, so you have that corruption there. Secondly, it's just basic socioeconomics and just economic theory. Okay, now if it's already been shown that all people use drugs equally, white people, black people, Hispanics, whatever, okay? So now, if you have in one particular community, you have black people or low-income people at least 4 times, usually 10 times more likely to be stopped and frisked, you know, their vehicles searched. I mean, in my neighborhood, because I live in a predominantly black neighborhood, you know, people can't even ride a bike. The police will stop you on the side of the street riding a bike and start searching you. You know, so you're 10 times more likely to have your civil rights, your constitutional rights violated if you live in a black neighborhood. So what this does is then this limits or it creates scarcity into the number of people who are actually going to walk around, you know, with those drugs, as opposed to if you are in a white neighborhood, you're not going to worry about that. So, because the drugs are just not being enforced in those neighborhoods. So,
that should quell crime. How is it bolstering?
No, it
murder.
Doesn't. No,
how is that both the murder? That's what I want to know.
Because you make a law doesn't make people decrease the propensity for something to happen.
I mean, so, but we know like with certain things, like with Giuliani, certain cities where they did increase, crime went down. So I'm trying to understand how this comes back around to increasing murder and all the things like Chicago. How does that increase
because,
murder?
Because look, if most of the homicides are prohibition related. They're over drugs. They're drug related crimes or shootings.
Alex, I talked with some people from the law enforcement agencies, and we're finding out that more and more now. At one time, more drugs were because of crime or because of drugs. But right now, it's not. It's over disrespect. It's over women. It's over stuff that you would not think that it would be over.
Yeah, because I've never sold drugs, but I grew up, I have a lot of friends that did and still do that I grew up in. Right now, it's not like it used to be in the 90s and 80s. They call it a drought. They saying it's been a drought for a while, like as far as crack and selling, moving weight, so to speak. So weed is what most people deal with now. I know you say that. That's why a lot of people are going to jail over weed, but most people don't even deal with cocaine and crack like they used to back in the 80s and 90s.
Heroin is on the rise, and it is right now the problem in the city and all over the place. That's just real talk. Hold on, guys. 440, your mic is on.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out something. As soon as they eliminated the draft is when the black community had a problem as far as jobs, getting jobs.
No.
They didn't adjust well. Sure did.
No.
You look up the statistics.
No.
I know.
No. The draft
know.
Didn't do it.
Yep.
The draft didn't do
sure
it.
Sure did.
Let me
sure
tell you
did.
Let me tell you what did it. No,
go
it didn't.
Look,
you want to tell
go
you
and look it up.
No, what?
Look it up.
No. Listen, go back. And if you want to look up what really happened.
You're being low information now.
No, sweetheart. The draft was during the Vietnam War when they eliminated. If you want to know what happened to the black community, when they started integration and busing students and they started pouring drugs into the community, and as long as they were pouring drugs into the community, no one said anything about it because it was not affecting them. When you started having white flight, when you started dealing with them inside of affirmative action and not giving them a fair shake, that's when all of this started. And let's go back to 1960 with Johnson. When you started having welfare, when you made more babies and made more money, as long as you didn't have a man around, like the baby came through osmosis or a stork dropped it off.
Why was there white flight? Why would we?
Because
why would
because white people
situation?
Like you did
why
not want
you
me
in
your neighborhood. Because you didn't want me in your neighborhood. That's why.
No,
and as soon
wrong.
As I bought
that's
a house
wrong.
In your neighborhood, you packed
no,
up and moved.
That's wrong.
Don't
that's
tell me
excuse.
No. Oh,
that's
hang up the
I
phone.
I can tell you no.
You can't tell me no on my show. You act like the folks
sure
weren't racist then.
Do
you really believe that? Are you just that asinine that you believe that white people didn't
no,
leave because
that.
They didn't want black
you
people
have,
around?
You are just want to make an excuse. All I'm hearing is excuses for weeks about this. Weeks. You make excuses.
Are you serious?
Do something about
are
it.
Are you just
do
that much have your
it.
Head
you
in the
do,
sand?
You, if you
no,
keep
no
doing
Tracy,
the
let him call. Let him, I
want
to hear what he got to
again.
Say. I want to hear this.
Yeah.
Keep talking.
Yeah. If you do the same thing over we, and over again, you're going to get the same result. And that's what's happened. Period.
Do you really
and
believe?
You know what, as far as
no,
Bondo's,
answer my question. Answer my question. Do you really believe that when you started integration and I started moving into your all-white neighborhoods that the neighbors did not move people out?
We moved out. You're already
why?
There.
No, no,
why?
No, no. No, 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 no. I moved in your neighborhood.
Try
no, answer the question.
Number one.
No, it wasn't. Answer the question. Do you believe when I became your neighbor that you didn't put a for sale sign in your yard?
I have no idea. I never had that problem. There's
you know what, Tracy?
There's black people.
There
in, wait a minute.
Go
in
ahead.
Alabama.
No, I was just saying the problem. I've seen communities where in Alabama where you put one black person. This is one guy. It was a real nice neighborhood. Everybody liked it. This one black guy moved on the street. Built the biggest house on the street. I mean, he built a mega house. He did. Well-off guy, right? Within like 6 months, I rode down that street. It was for sale sign as far as I could see. I mean, it's almost like everybody moved, right? And now, hold on. The whole neighborhood's black, but guess what? It's still a nice neighborhood. People are still building over there. They're not parking on the grass. They're not barbecuing and having parties with people putting trash all out. They're not, you know, leaving the door open is not what they, I guess, suspect when they see African-Americans move in the neighborhood. But I just wanted to hear his excuse as to why.
I got to take a break, but let me listen to this.
there is a guy here. He's a wealthy African-American female. African-American male businessman here. And he had President Barack Obama come here about 6 years ago for a fundraiser. And not only did they put the square footage of his house and the location of it, but they plastered it like it was something new. Now, I want you to know presidential hopefuls come to our town very, very often and raise a whole lot of money. And I have yet to see the square footage of the other white people's houses. We need to always understand that racism and prejudice and bigotry is still alive in America. And 440, I really thought you were better than that, but I guess you're just not. For you to be that ignorant, this is not about excuses. This is about mindsets like yours that really, really tick black people off and wonder why we can't get ahead.
Listen, because you are a part of the problem.
I'm taking a break. I'll be back.
Quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S. And now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives...
Hello. Hello. This is Alex.
Is that Alex?
This is South Carolina here.
Oh, this is the other South Carolina there. Hey, that fish was excellent.
Yeah, we got the message.
Well, you didn't get the whole message.
Yeah, no, I'll put them in different bags next time.
Yeah, exactly. No, the whole message was it was good, and now I expect a Wednesday delivery every week. So, I'm shocked to hear there's black people in my neighborhood. They've moved in. Nobody asked for my permission. What's our county, South Carolina? What's our county, 57%? Black American?
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, this is not the county to live in if you even think you might be prejudiced.
Well, if you go over to Timminsville, it's even higher than that.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I hope Bill didn't hear that. Anytime you mention Timminsville, he goes in the vapor lot.
Yeah, I know. He's got, yeah.
Cool. But, yeah, I'm glad you liked it.
Oh, it was excellent. It was excellent, excellent, excellent.
Hey, Alabama, you there?
He was here earlier.
You must have him muted.
Yeah, he and Alex were talking to each other. Alex said one thing I never thought about, but I'm not sure it's an exact 100% parallel, and that was comparing the crime from Prohibition and how the government handled that during the alcohol prohibition, and the way they're handling crime now with drugs being illegal versus making them legal. I'm not sure I exactly understand the exact parallel.
I'd suggest you look into that a little bit, because I mean the organized crime, when you look at the just crime in general, of murder, domestic violence, all kinds of things was going through the roof,
mm-hmm.
and they tried all kinds of things to curb the violence and the disorder from the alcohol prohibition. But and this is why I say it comes to whether or not people or mainstream respects the humanity mm-hmm. of black people. Because when that was happening to their community, they say, you know what, we got to change this law. This is ridiculous. But when it comes to us, oh, you need to take some personal responsibility. And the thing about it is that people, there's nothing that you're going to do. See, I have reservations about calling myself a conservative, because that the name, the term has been co-opted by progressive Republicans. But I mean, I consider myself a libertarian. I do not a conservative libertarian, and so I do not believe in any laws that try to control people's personal habits, as long as they are not infringing on the rights of others. So people should be able to do whatever they want to do, And they should be able to do whatever drugs they want to do and let the free market handle. If there's a job that requires people to if it's really important that they don't have substance abuse, then companies are going to take care of that. They're going to drug test and it'll be important when it needs to be important. It'll be brought up when it's important. And the government getting in the way, it's a bog on the economy. There's so many factors that it's just a terrible thing, and it has completely decimated the African American community. I feel because you can never fully work all these issues out. The government can never fully work all these issues out. So that's why you have to promote as much freedom as possible, as long as people are not violating the rights of others.
Yeah, that I agree with. It was just the historical perspective. My historical perspective, and again, being blind, I'm a lot educated by the History Channel and conversation and lectures in college and stuff like that, and news, okay? My perception of prohibition was that most of the crime that the government was really upset about were the players, not the end user consumer, and they were going after more or less the people making the illegal alcohol, the gangs fighting over territory for the right to sell that illegal alcohol. I thought that was the most big crime that brought the feds in, because it was so destabilizing to the peace and tranquility of cities like Chicago.
Yeah.
So I didn't see it as the like it is today when people talk about drugs. They're kind of ignoring the part the big gangs play, and most of the arrests are the end users. It's like prostitution. Prostitution would be a big outcry if all the jobs always got arrested and none of the madams got arrested.
I'm just trying to compare
the analogy to see if they were exactly parallel. Just trying to sort through it.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, because the end user doesn't even have the means of bringing those drugs into those communities.
Right.
So what is the real goal there? The goal there seems to be to just stimulate economic activity. There's just so many middle-class jobs that depends on the war on drugs. That's the only thing I can get out of it when it comes to even prostitution and the war on drugs. That when you're trying to legislate people's personal habits, that has nothing to do with actually stopping it.
Yeah. When I had my repair business many, many years ago, and I had mentioned once before to Tracy that the people that would hire a blind tradesman usually were the slumlords, because I worked cheap enough for them, And the analogy that I saw early on that taught me a lot about this, and I think is parallel to your point you're making, when I walked into a building and there was a broken pipe, I didn't tell my crew, run for the mops. I said, let's find the shutoff valve. And everything we do for drug enforcement mainly is running for the mop first to clean up the users. We're not really shutting off the supply, because you're right. The guy at the bottom of the chain, the end user, is not in control of supply. He's just purchasing.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, Tracy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Listen, I need to answer Kavina, man. He just came in here. And Kavina, man, I love you, but I need to say it this way. I ain't a house Negro, but let me put it to you this way. 440, who called in, and as asinine as he is in his comments, he does not represent all white people. But I need white people to hear how they sound, because you need to understand there are more people that are not like him than are like him. That is the problem. But when you hear people like him, you find out just how asinine people can be in America. Mike, Almost Blind Mike, am I getting that right?
Almost Blind Mike?
Okay, Almost Blind Mike.
Almost Blind Mike? Thank you for the half.
You're welcome. You got it.
My friend called me Blind Mike because it's the truth,
But Mike, is it really that what I'm saying? Because I know white folks, and most of them are ignorant, and they may be prejudiced, but they're not as the last caller.
Exactly. Well, I see, Tracy, I have a unique advantage being in the one-down position in society. I've lived some of the black experience being a disabled person, and, of course, I live in the white community also being a white person, okay? And I hear you, and yeah, I still cringe in a public place when I hear white people talk the way he did, because it's not from the center of the road. It is polarized to one side. As for the same reason I kind of cringe when I hear black folks talk the radical stuff. But having been in both realities, what they call, for those of us in the one down position, when you try to live the great American dream, disabled people, people of color, people of the uncool religion of the week, whatever's going on, okay? What happens is, what most people then call, who have no disadvantages in the society, call a chip on our shoulder, is really nothing more than, like you say, it's a hypersensitivity. You were saying that, you know, you tend to go off and everything else. It's a hypersensitivity to, here we go again, more of it's coming my way. And as together as you get your act as the years go on, like you do and I do and Alex has done and Alabama and stuff, you can hear the people that have, you know, come to a certain reality. There are things that will blindside you in the moment, and you just lose it, because it's like being a really good basketball player. You see the ball coming out of the corner of your eye. You don't try to analyze it. Your hands go up to catch it. It's an automatic thing, and no matter how intelligent you become, how together you become, there are people who can step on those landmines from your childhood, your adulthood, and those years where you were made very aware you were in the one-down position, and, you know, you keep saying there's no fix for stupid. You do run into ignorant people, and it happens all the time. And we were talking about that the other day. People will come up to me with an attitude because they think I'm staring at them when I'm just sitting there waiting for my meal to be served in a restaurant. And the person who assisted me might be off using the restroom, and I'm just sitting there alone. And I found myself a few times very near to altercations over nothing, because the person came to me with an attitude because they thought I was staring at them or their family, when in all reality, I was just sitting there patiently waiting for my meal to come. And the person comes up and says, hey, you got a problem? And I remember one time, all I said to the person was, are you the manager? Innocently thinking they thought I was having a problem. And I was just sitting there waiting for my meal, so I didn't understand the question. Thought maybe it was the manager and he had the wrong table and he was looking for somebody that needed the manager's help. And the guy goes, I could be the manager, you know, and got a real attitude. And it was an innocent question I asked him. And I had to pull back quick and go, this is one of those situations where I'm right, but how right do I want to be? And I had to do the I'm blind step and what I call the I'm blind step and fetch it routine. And please, if there's any black folks that took offense to that, I didn't mean it that way, but you understand what that means. You know, the bow and scrape and all that. You got to back up because you know where this goes.
Slap your audio mic is on.
People have a chip on their shoulder. They'll say, well, black people got a chip on their shoulder. Well, disabled people got a chip on their shoulder. It's not that. It's a defense mechanism because we're just getting prepared for what's next. It's automatic sometimes.
Well, Tracy, you know, sometimes that does happen. And some of us are more lucky than others because we have the ability to deflect those situations and you know, be able to dial it down some. But I see it so much in society that people don't know how to dial it down. Once the throttle is open, they're going to go wide open and hit whatever's in front of them. You know, speed bumps, buildings, people, don't make any difference. You know? And people, it seems like people just stop thinking, you know.
Well, it's an art to dial it back.
Yeah.
It's an art, and you have to have a level of control. Because if you don't control it, you will find yourself flying off a handle.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be in more trouble than you really want to be in. Covina, man, your mic is on. 626.
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, good. I was just waiting for a moment to step in here. Interesting conversation, but I find it like a lot of times, you know, you have discussion with white folks, they have buckets of words, and they really say nothing. That's right. Usually when it comes to, like, discussions of racism and stuff like that, if I really find it, just myself, I find it like a waste of time to try to argue with white folks. I'm trying to prove to them that what their actions are is racism. Like, they already know it's racism. They're
they
the
don't.
Experts. No, they're the experts in practicing racism. They try to act like nope. What they're trying to do. They try to act. They try to act like they don't know. They try to act like they don't want to let you know that they're practicing racism. They know it all along. Every
Covina,
single moment.
Covina,
every single
man,
person on that jury.
That's not true, man. That's not true.
That's not true.
That's like saying that all black people are born to be dancers, and that's not right. That's an incorrect statement.
It's not incorrect, man.
It
no,
is,
because white folks know every single person on the jury, right? They know how to practice racism. It's not
Hold
something
on, did
that
you
they
read,
have to.
Did you listen to the juror last night?
Absolutely.
Okay, what did she say? She said when they first took the first vote and when they first came in the room, what did she say?
Yeah, three said not guilty, two and one. But I'm just saying every single one of them know how to practice white supremacy, right?
What?
So at the end of the day, or the end of the 16 hours, they just fail back to the basic white supremacy. That's all you have to do. For some people it don't take 16 hours. For other people it takes 16 hours. For most people it's not gonna take 24 hours. They know how to practice white supremacy, and you guys are not recognizing the evidence is before you.
You mean to tell me you really believe the words? You're just as bad as the guy who just called in
on
the other side. I can't believe the words that are coming out of your mouth.
I study white supremacy.
I think we're sandwiched between a stupid sandwich. Stupid on one end and on the other end.
I study white supremacy. I study white supremacy. I study the reaction of people to the white supremacy. I study all the moves of white supremacy. I understand white supremacy.
And you just dump all white people in the same bucket and say they all the same. Is that what you're telling me?
No, I don't have to say all white folks are the same. I'm just talking about white supremacy. I'm not studying genetic white folks. That's not what I'm studying. I study white supremacy. So there's a difference. I'm studying the actions of white supremacy and the reactions to it and the results of it. So I'm not talking about all white people. I'm not a geneticist. I'm not studying that thing. I'm studying white supremacy, racism.
That has got to be a tiring existence, man, to study people that – you know, that you think hate you, but then you reflect the same thing back to them that you perceive that they're reflecting to you. So you got, like I said, we are sandwiched between two stupid sandwiches. Stupid on one end and stupid on the other. Because you got those out there that are saying, all black people.
That's the problem.
You got black people, white people out there saying that all white people are this and that.
And
it's so daggone. Tiring, man.
Okay, I ask you to do this.
Take people.
Don't study.
Who they are
don't
as
study.
Individuals.
Right. Okay, I ask you to do this. Don't study individuals as a race. Study the system of white supremacy, and then you see what I'm talking about.
But listen. Okay, Covina man. In your articulation of what you're saying, you are right. This whole system is based on white supremacy. Or should I
Correct.
Say it better this way? It is the whole system is based on white privilege. That's true. But you have the ability to actually change the system for your own, to make it shape the way that you want it to look. But instead of doing that, people of color still want to work inside of a supremacist system and or a white privilege system. And wonder why it doesn't work.
No, we. If you study it, you know why it doesn't. If you study it, you know why it doesn't work. That's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to don't study the people. Forget the people. Let's say the people don't exist. You just study it in abstract. You're just studying the system of racism, white supremacy, and then you tell me what you're talking about.
Hold on, South Carolina. Hold on. Go ahead, Jeff.
You know what? I don't ever agree with Kavina Mann, but I absolutely agree with him on this case. Because in there, no one at no time, considered, considered that Trayvon was defending himself. Not one time. They didn't consider that he had a right to cold cock this guy who he don't know who he was or what his intention was. He ran and hid from the guy. The guy still walked up on the area where he was at, so he came out and confronted him. He said, "What are you following me for?" He had a right to defend himself because he didn't tell him why he's following him. It was obvious that he was being followed because when he ran away, the man ran after him.
Okay.
So now, once again, yes, that's what he means by this. A black man's right is not the white man, is not better or as good as the white man's right. The white man had every right to defend himself once he instigated a situation and got punched. But before that, but Trayvon was defending himself. He did not have the right to defend himself because he's a black man against a white man. That's all that was about.
Local call, your mic is on.
Hey, how you doing, Tracy?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. While y'all was talking about racism, I just wanted to say one thing. I wanted to ask a question.
Okay.
If a white man is trying to, and you have seen this, they have tried to force black people to sell their property, their belongings, because, you know, they tell them that it's not worth nothing. But in reality, once they sell it, it's always worth something. So the best thing that you can do with something like that, if you got something of value and if you got white people leaning on you to sell it, you might sell it. That's what I'm being victimized by now. That's basically what's going on. They're trying to force me and sell it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just not going to sell it because I know it's all about my race. That's all I got to say.
Thanks a lot. 626, your mic is on.
Hold
on, Kavina, man. There's another person on.
Okay.
There's another 626, okay. 644, your mic is on. Okay, go ahead, Kavina, man.
Yeah, I was just going to say that if I think South Carolina is making a mistake when you think that when black people are dealing with, you know, white people, that we're using some kind of prejudice against, say, Caucasianism or whatever. And what we're dealing with is their system. It's like they have rules to the game. We're playing the rules to the game. There's the rules of the game. If you want to know how to play chess, you study chess. You don't just start playing checkers and start making your own rules. It's just I'm only going to play an individual game based upon what rules I'm sitting down with this particular person. You got to understand the rules of the game in which you're working with.
Kobe,
the rules of
let me
wrap this up. Oh, go ahead. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Because I agree with you. I agree with you. And don't get me wrong. I disagree with the method of explanation and or how you present it. Do you have to understand the rules in which are made can be changed? The problem with black people, and I said this on yesterday, and I don't think you were listening in on yesterday. When you look around the room, everything in the room had a political aspect to it. And they all have their parameters of the rules of the game. The problem with the people that are color when they sit inside of a courtroom is that they have no influence in there because they've given their power away to someone else. And now they have the ability to change that power and to make it different, and they won't take that ability and make it better. Because you talk about white supremacy. But you give all your power, and right now you've got Ben Zealous and the NAACP walking around talking about same-sex marriage instead of talking about equality.
true.
So that they're not trying to change the rules for you. They're trying to change the rules for someone else. So that's why we now have DOMA being overturned, same-sex marriage on the fast track, and your civil rights being slid back.
Yeah. Right. I'm not going to disagree with that. I'm just saying that.
And
Tracy, we have a justice system that has done exactly what it was set up to do. And I'm not talking about, you know,
okay,
to not to give justice to the black man, but our system is set up to do exactly what it was supposed
to
do.
No, you're right.
You got individuals out there saying that because I don't agree with your verdict, the system is broken, and that doesn't make any sense to me.
Hold on.
It's not broken. It's not broken because it works
right,
the way it's supposed to work. But the problem is, and when I hold on, but the problem is that the times have changed, and they have changed because of cultural influence that has been propagated by a systematic charge to keep people separate and to keep the down and to make sure everybody stays where they are. They're not trying to help you get ahead. They're not trying to help you achieve the American dream, and nor are they trying to keep you outside of the penal system. So, because when you look at a jury of your peers, a jury of your peers was not the peers, and let me to counteract on Jesse Jackson, they're not the peers of Trayvon Martin, but in actuality, they were the peers of Zimmerman. And the problem is the prosecution did not make the case to show that Trayvon Martin was not the assailant in this crime. They turned him into the assailant. They turned him into the bad person who was actually not fending for his life. That's what they did.
Yeah, Tracy,
they did not make Trayvon Martin into a personable young man who was trying to get a Skittles and a tea. They turned him into a tyrant who attacked Zimmerman, who happened to have a gun, lost the fight, and shot the boy.
Right, Tracy, let me just address something you had said a little bit earlier, too. I'm not going to disagree with what you said, but you were saying that the attack on the black community, whatever, and you were addressing or trying to infer that it was, you know, the welfare system, and I think it was accurate but inaccurate at the same time. The 1960s that the welfare was trying to attack wasn't an intact black family; it was already a destroyed black community. If you wanted to take a time in which the black community was attacked or decimated, you have to go back another 40 years to Rosewood, Black Wall Street, Springfield, Illinois, and places like that, when there was the quote race riots of the time when white folks annihilated black cities that was autonomous.
And so
that
let me
was
say
the
it,
time.
But,
yes, ma'am.
Covina, this is the issue. You keep on saying white folks, which indicts all white people. And this is where you and I falter and we split. It is a demonic system that caused the lack of economic development in the black community that caused us to split. And so when you look at and what you're saying is absolutely right. But Jim, like I said, Jim Crow and black codes came in for separation. So you're blaming all people, even the ones who helped set you free, who marched with you, who went on the bus trip all the way from the north to the south. You're blaming them just like you're blaming the people who put the system in place.
No, I am not. That wasn't even my intention. But what I'm trying to get you to address is that following slavery, black folks took, 40 years, 60 years, and they had – under Jim Crow and under these problems, they had addressed it with their autonomous cities like Rosewood and Springfield, Illinois, and Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The black folks are on their way to say, okay, we don't have equality. We're going to do our own thing. It was anti-black people, okay, you don't want to say white folks, this is the anti-black people who came in and destroyed that and said, no, you can't have your own, you can only have what we allow you to have. And so from then, the folks left their autonomous cities, moved to the north and moved to other cities to try to get jobs for, from the industry, from white industry. So black folks went to cities, and then you start talking about the white flight and all that. That's what we didn't have to have that if white, if the, the anti-black people would have left the autonomous black cities alone, but they couldn't do
and
that.
And what I'm saying to you, we are you. I agree with you, but this was this, and it still is going on today. It's about money. It's about money, power, and influence. And they needed to control that group of people, and they are still controlling them today. That's why you see what's going on today, because remember, they chose this trial for you to put your focus into. And it's not yeah. white people that chose it. It's a system and those mechanics in the system that chose this trial to keep your focus down in Florida and to not deal with the everyday work of what's going on.
Let me, sister, let me add.
And now,
go ahead.
Yeah, you're hot, Larry.
That 440, don't let it get you all riled up. There's some people that drink from the fountain of knowledge, and there's others that gargle. I don't even know if that brother's gargling. But be that as it may, Tracy, you said, I mean, you all you have done is you weren't making excuses. You were educating, telling the truth. Because any problem that we face, whether it be a race, or a household problem with you and your spouse, you have to identify that problem and how it got to be a problem so you don't repeat it. And that's what – so we know what's happened to our community. What have we done to fix it? That's the biggest thing. And I think there was – I think it was a white guy that called in the one time and talked about it. We don't have any strong black leader. We have a guy like Al Sharpton that knows how to play the system. And you just said that they chose this case. You're absolutely correct they chose this case. Al Sharpton will make some money. MMSSB or BC or whoever he works for, they'll make some money. But overall, we get left behind, and it's sad because we know it's crazy if you know what the problem is and you continue to allow it to happen.
If you look at the timeline, you look at how this case – Larry, hold on. If you look at how this case came into existence, it was sitting dormant, and they sent Al Sharpton down there with some cameras, and they blew it out the water. They actually altered the photos. They photoshopped the stuff, and they altered the tapes. And they set set Sanford on fire. And we all focused down there for a couple weeks. And when the governor came in, brought in the attorney general, and they set forth a special prosecution, they filed charges at murder, too. They did not file charges for manslaughter. And they took the wrong strategy. They went in the courtroom willing to lose. Because remember, Zimmerman was sitting at home sipping on iced tea saying about, I'm over this. When they went and picked him up and brought him back in for further questioning and then charged him.
Do you remember what was going on during this whole time? Because Jeff and I talked about it.
I forgot that part.
Al Sharpton went down there. 2 days later is when Obama intersected himself and said, Trayvon, if he had a son, it would look like Trayvon. That whole time period from the time that Al Sharpton was there and when, you know, Obama interjected the presidency into it, was when they were debating the Supreme Court on the legality of Obamacare. That's when all that happened. Because for 46 days, the prosecuting attorney, the sheriff, the lead detective, they said they didn't have enough to arrest, let alone indict.
That's what I'm saying. They shifted the focus. They created this monster, and now we're sitting back watching it on television, watching it play out, and America is divided one more time, further back than it was in the 60s.
Again, that guy, 440, don't let him get y'all riled up, Tracy. He's just gargling.
I'm trying to say something nice.
He don't want to listen, but he ain't going to help you either. The only ones that are going to fix it is us. Until we get really, really pissed, like everybody in our communities are pissed right now. Sorry for saying pissed, but till we get tested at four. I sent you. I think I sent it to Jeff. Four kids in the last 20 days, children, three teenagers and a five-year-old were shot and murdered in Chicago. And I'm sure if you looked up Detroit or Philadelphia or New York City, you would find them.
But we've got to change our focus, because we've got to go back to our local races. We've got to go back to our education. We've got to go back to our politics. We still have not dealt with that. And right now, I'm looking at people just being ignorant and stupid and being played like a fiddle. And if you want to leave a legacy for Trayvon Martin, then you need to wake up and smell the coffee and change the system from the inside out.
That's my point. And it bothered me because these aren't racist Republicans doing this. And, in fact, the Republican governor is the one that ordered the case be looked into again. So, I mean, let's not play games.
We got to play games, Jeff.
Yeah, I guess we do.
And then for my Republican white folks, y'all, and I said this earlier to a friend of mine, y'all need to think before you speak. Because y'all say some real dumb, insensitive stuff when you don't know what's really going on and you haven't studied the culture of what you're talking about.
I think that's a comment that people just who are not in the one-down position in society for whatever reason, they have no idea what it's like to constantly have sandpaper rubbed against your skin. You can feel a match light 200 feet away because you're so sensitive. And it's not an attitude. It's not a bad attitude. It's not genetic. You can't blame it on color or anything. It's just when you've been rubbed enough the wrong way, you get sensitive to it. And there's an insensitivity that people that live these charmed, blessed lives don't feel. They don't get it. And a lot of them, you ought to see, you know, now with the downturn in the economy, a lot of those people that thought they had the world by the tail, and you saw them, some of them on 60 Minutes over the last couple of years, you know, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 a year income earners lose their jobs, lose their home, end up homeless. Now they're beginning to understand you can fall in this society. And when you do, then they get an experience of what it's like to be in the one down position. And not that it's an excuse for anything, because I agree with you there. You know, try to run your own life your own way. But people are insensitive. They don't understand what it's like to constantly be under the gun and constantly be put down for one reason or another that you had no control over. You do get sensitive to it. And there's an insensitivity perpetrated by those who just haven't walked that mile in your shoes.
I think that when you hear 404, I didn't hear the whole thing, so I don't know exactly what you guys are talking about. But I assume he said something insensitive. But when you hear 404, it's like a Paula Deen. It's like a Dr. Laura moment.
Yeah.
It's enlightening. For those of you who don't know, it should be an enlightening moment. For those who already know, it's just confirmation. We could just point to dates and times and say, do you remember this? But I'm just saying, that is more the reality of what's going on here. Just like the people on the TV show, that they got caught saying the racist stuff behind the back when it was on camera. It's an enlightening of what it is, what we don't see when the camera isn't there, when they don't pick up the phone. This is how they talk. This is how America works. You just happen to hear it because you got a phone and they call in.
Well, your problem.
Well, that's the point of the show.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Yeah, it's enlightening you. That's what I'm saying. It's enlightening you, not enlightening me. We already knew. We didn't have to get enlightened. We already knew ahead of time.
Well, some did, but unlisted caller, you're there. You're in there.
Local caller,
not you.
Oh, okay.
Unlisted caller.
Is it me?
No.
Jeff.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
You said the Republican governor was the one that brought the charges up or started the
No, I did not. No, I did not. I said he caused them to go back and to redo that situation. It was dead. He revived it.
All right. Well, the other caller said that the Democrats started it to cover up what they were trying to do.
No. The Obama administration absolutely got into it with that intent. And if you look at what Mr. Holder said yesterday, you can see that that's his intent, is to make sure that all of everything is off of him because of Benghazi, Fast and Furious, IRS. He's going to jump in this and talk about, I care about this and they're going to do this. But he didn't care about Benghazi. He didn't care about IRS. He didn't care about the border people dying. Uh-uh. Shut up, Mr. Holder. Stay out of it. You don't need to be in this now. It's over. There's nothing you can do. Let the Martin sue Zimmerman after he makes a billion dollars and take their money and let them live happily ever after for the loss of their son. For no reason. There was no reason why he.
I agree with that, but I mean, I don't think that they're going to be able to get any money after the.
Oh, you better believe. Oh, no. Oh, yes, they will. Oh, yes, they will. Absolutely. Absolutely. They already settled for. Oh, listen, they already settled for over $1 million from the homeowners association.
Yeah, but I'm even thinking the homeowners probably right now wishing they
would have
held out.
No, they didn't. It wouldn't make a difference. He was theirs. That man died for no reason. There's no way.
I agree with that. But
they had
the
to pay.
At the same time, we say he died for no reason, but nobody's in jail because of. I mean, do you think that before Sharpton and them went down there that this was ever going to be a foul on him?
No, and it didn't matter. Somebody is a whole lot of noise. What's going on there? Okay, that was 626-644. You got to shut the noise off back around you. You're live in the queue.
I mean, because I agree with a lot of stuff you say about, but I believe in this instance, if they wouldn't have went down there, probably would have just went, it just would have been quiet. I agree that they shouldn't be, I agree with you that they should be marching in Chicago, Youngstown, all the other places, not just them, but us in general. But I believe in this situation, if they wouldn't have went down there. I mean, if
you
probably
what?
Been swept up in the rug, he probably would have never been charged at all.
You know, I'm not into the marching thing right now because I don't think the marching thing is going to be a doggone thing for you. I think that all that's going to do is give you a day out to look crazy on film, and that's it. So, my thing is I don't think it's going to...
I ain't talking about tearing the city up and all that. We got to come together and do something.
Marching ain't it. That's all I got to tell you. What will do it is for you. Well, this is what you need to do. You need to get in your communities first of all, and you need to start for the people that you vote for. Make sure that when they get into their little offices down in D.C. and in the State House, that they do some economic development in your neighborhood. Because guess what? Economic development is the great equalizer. If we have one trick...
We've been voting people in, and as soon as they get down there and then people get to threaten them, it's a different story.
No, sir.
Jeff,
no,
economic
sir.
Economic development is called pork barrel now the Tea Party came in.
Forget the Tea Party. The Tea Party ain't strong enough to stop you from getting economic development. And the thing is you have $1 trillion that flows through the black community. If you're going to do something, you need to do economic development and make sure that they put, instead of giving you welfare checks, how about, for you and your people, that's what they think. Well, we've given you welfare when they're talking about giving you reparations. Well, no, this is the thing. Every time that we became independently, financially independent, the government slapped us down. It was with black codes. It was with Jim Crow laws. It was with the attack on Black Wall Street. And it was with also the 1963 Civil Rights Act.
They're going to continue to do it every time we get to that point.
No, well, if you let them, and you let them, and you keep voting for them without making a charge on them, you don't vote for them. You say, no, we're not going to vote for you unless you promise us to X, Y, and Z. See, we give these votes away, and then these people don't do a doggone thing for us, and then you're left out there with nothing.
Yeah, the people be listening, and they think that, and the people are promising them stuff. Always promising.
No, they ain't.
What?
Okay. Now we have a guy, a very powerful guy in the Senate, in the House. I mean, excuse me, from here. Okay, what is Mr. Tim Ryan doing for the black community?
Nothing.
Why are you voting for him then again?
I'm not.
Okay, but the thing is most of us are, and why you have to go, because I'm not a Democrat. I can't go to the meetings and say, look, we need some things in our community. 626, you got way too much going on. I got to keep you muted till it's time to come up. We can't do this for you. We can't allow you to have full run of our vote and have it whenever you want it. But we can't get any relief when black unemployment is 18% young males. Okay, that doesn't work.
Why come a Republican can't do it? Even if you do,
first of all, because you always call them racist Republicans. You call them racist Republicans, and you tell them they ain't nothing. They ain't no good.
You're talking to somebody who's not saying that.
You're one person, my friend.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, the thing is, if we had continued with Nancy Pelosi and rerunning and stuff like they had it. Hello?
Go ahead.
If they had continued like they had it under the first 2 years of the Obama administration, there's no telling where that would have went. Let me finish my point. I said if they would have allowed to have the stimulus to the state programs, because the states
got
wanted stimulus. I said the states wanted stimulus when they was cutting off all the government jobs. But, of course, the Tea Party came in and ended everything. So we had basically 2 years of nothing.
That's not true, and I don't want to say it stronger than that. That is just simply freaking not true. That is a bunch of malarkey. The Tea Party ain't strong enough to shut down all that shut down. You don't realize that because of the EP regulations, you have businesses shutting down across the nation. You don't realize because of the tax cuts that were let go, that people aren't spending money anymore and people are losing jobs and the middle class has lost a whole lot of ground. You don't see that. You don't see that the health care law is getting ready to destroy the rest of business, and you see the unions now balking against it. Don't be goofy, man. You can't be goofy. You have to think. That Nancy Pelosi would destroy this country. That woman is an idiot. That mindless, she's a mindless idiot.
Excuses when they was in power. When they was in power, there were no excuses. Everybody was just doing what they had to do.
The black middle class did quite well up under Bush, okay? So you look at that statistic and read it and weep, my friend. Okay, you did it until the last two years of the Bush administration when the progressives took over Congress. That's when you did. When you had Nancy Pelosi take over and the stupidity that they do, how about shutting down half of California because they want a fish to live instead of watering the valley so they can grow food? How about that foolishness? No, you don't tell me nothing about
no
Nancy Pelosi.
No,
we have none. Those are idiots.
No excuses when they was in office.
My friend, I'm sorry you believe in the Wizard of Oz, okay? I'm sorry.
I'm just saying we had action. We didn't have no excuses, man.
You had no action. You got nothing.
We had action. But at least we had action.
What action did you have, sir? Sabina, man, what did you have?
Okay. When black folks been asking to overturn the discrepancies in the cocaine laws for God dang how long, and as soon as they came in, bam, it was done.
As soon as they came in
and asked for something, bam, they got it. As soon as they asked for it, they got it. It wasn't like we had to see a
petition. Who turned over the discrepancies in the campaign law?
Who turned over the
locked today. It's locked today. It's locked today. Huh?
Hold on.
You got to fix them out.
Go ahead, bro. Hold on, Kavina, man. Say it again, bro. Your phone is kind of funny sounding. Go ahead.
Maybe he was talking to somebody else.
I don't know where he went. Yeah, maybe he was. Well, Alec, you're there. My two, South Carolina, Kavina, man. Look, I'm sorry.
Hey,
Nancy Pelosi is a far left crazy woman that is destroying the country along with Harry Reid. If you have her as speaker, you're going to be much further behind because she done put you where you are at now. We must pass the bill before we know what's in it. That's stupid.
Yeah, I'm just saying that was no excuse. Nobody was making any excuses about stuff not getting done.
Alex, go ahead.
Well, I do have to say it's I think that one of the things, you know, we need a basic education of economics and just what government is supposed to do. We need to come to some agreement on that because, Kavina, man, I heard you talk about some of the stimulus that you know, Obama wanted to do. But he just wanted to grow government jobs, you know, primarily mostly was government jobs. And we have to be honest about this. The government cannot create anything. The only thing the government is all it is force. Only thing it can do is either take away from somebody else, some other productive citizen, or destroy something. That's it. The government cannot create anything. So there's really no such thing as a government job, you know. So because in order for that whatever work for them to do, what they're doing is taking the liberty from other producing people to give it to somebody else. And so then it's not creating a job. It's no economic activity. You're just reshuffling. You're taking other people's tax dollars and giving it to people to give them something to do. And it does not stimulate the economy. And that was primarily what Obama was trying to do. And it's just nonsense.
Let's continue this dialogue on that. The thing is, we have a country in which we have a debt, and we had a debt forever. It wasn't like taxpayers that paying. We got a dollar in, we got a dollar out, right? So money has been coming from the debt forever for military wars and for anything else. And it came in to the country in stimulus, and it saved the country out of the recession we was in. So they can't say that it didn't work. It does work.
We're still in a recession. You might be fooled by the White House reports, but we're still in a recession.
That's not obvious semantics, man. Okay, we said recession or not, but I'm just saying it was a system, and we're using the system, and it worked. It worked when Nancy Pelosi and them people was in office.
It
stopped working. It stopped working when they came out and they went on. You know, ending, cut the government and cutting this stuff, and have all these jobs where the government, the private sector is gaining employment, and the government sector is cutting it. All that stuff is directly affect black folks. Black folks don't have a problem with a government job.
Where were you? What country are you talking about, my friend?
That's what I want to know.
We in the same country, yeah. Dang it.
Where are you going, stupid?
Come on now. We in the same country.
No. What I'm trying to tell you is that what you just said had nothing to do with the truth. You did not have gains in employment going on, not since he took over.
There are fewer jobs today than when he took over.
This is, you know, listen, he destroyed the ability of this country to revive itself.
We had no problems when he was in office, man. When he was in there, we didn't have these problems.
I don't know what the heck you are coming with. I'm not going to do that on the air. But you really make me want to say that. That's the most dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. You have a million less jobs now than when he took over. And he's killing them daily. EPA regulations shut down half of Ohio's coal industry, West Virginia's coal industry, all these other places. And when coal industry that provides very cheap electricity goes, guess what? The small manufacturer does not have a chance to start up. Why? Because he can't get energy. Because we're trying to go to solar energy to supply our grid needs, which is the most foolish thing I ever heard. Because all you need is an EMT bomb and you're done. Like we don't have it. You really believe this. I'm sorry you do. I really thought that you really had it together more than that. This man has destroyed your economy. He's destroyed and put people against each other and made them fight and bite and kill each other.
A birth certificate.
Beg your pardon?
I said birth certificate.
Birth certificate?
That's the only two words you need to talk about. You were talking about somebody destroying somebody or trying to divide. That's all you got to talk about. He lied about
his birth certificate, and they proved
it
a million times. So what?
Here we go. Okay.
It's over.
Here
he's president now. Ain't nothing you can do. They lied about Benghazi. They lied about Fast and Furious. They lied about going into and removing Gaddafi. Not only that, he committed troops to that because of the United Nations, not because of our Congress. Stop it. You don't know what this country is about. If you don't like capitalism, go someplace where they're practicing something different, please. Because capitalism is what built this country. It's the only thing that will sustain it. You will not make this a Marxist socialist government. Unlisted caller, you are back again. Please talk.
Right now, I'm just listening, Jeff. Just hanging on. Just listening.
All right.
Jeff.
Statistic.
Man, Jeff, you just came with a litany of white supremacy, man. You stuck in white
man,
supremacy.
Man, you know what? You know,
like
you know
are,
what? Listen. If you think after you heard me talk about, if you think that I believe in white supremacy after I dealt with this whole trial and what it means, then you really need well, there's nothing you can do because you ain't got it. You just ain't got it because you know. Guess what? I ain't for no supremacy but God's supremacy. I understand white supremacy very, very, very well.
Hey, whatever
you're studying now, I'll guarantee you I've known about for years. Okay,
laid out a bunch of it right there. Dude.
Capitalism, my friend, if you don't have the ability to make wealth, to create wealth, you're done. And if you let the government create the wealth for you, you're done because they're not going to give you what they want to give you. Don't be a fool. Go ahead, whoever was talking.
What I was just going to say was that the actual percentages of employment today are at their lowest level, percentages now, since
ever.
1983 or 84's employment numbers. You cannot
Absolutely.
Say that the system has created more jobs. In fact, there's just all kinds of statistics on this, and from the government's point of view, as far as equality or anything like that, Black Americans are 13% of the population. They currently hold 18% of the federal jobs. It's one out of five in the federal government earns $100,000 a year or more, and in the private sector, it's only one out of 19 make $100,000 a year or more. And as far as white supremacy goes and God, and you believe in God's supremacy, Jeff, I just got to ask you one question, me to you. What color is God?
That's the whole point.
You know,
that's the whole point.
I just
well, no. Here the thing is God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Exactly.
And so,
exactly.
and so, therefore, I deal with God. Does He allow some things to happen on earth? Yes, He does. He even said how some things are going to work out because of the conduct of the people on it.
Uh-huh.
He even tells you that earth is alive because it says when you go into a land and you do stuff like create gay marriage and legalize that and legalize killing your kids up to 6 months. They want you, 5 months. They want you to be able to kill your kids up to 5 months.
I know.
Hey, Jeff, I had a question. Let me ask that guy the same question. If the multiple planet is people of color, and only 10% of the people on the planet Earth is color, is white.
what color, and God made man in his image, then what color is God?
I can't answer that question. I'm not qualified. I'm blind. So I wouldn't know if God was standing in front of me. I hear he's a bright light if you can see him.
Well, he said he is light.
So
yes.
I believe everybody.
I just wanted to ask you a question about what color is God. I wanted to ask him.
Look, it's all these are all rhetorical things because it says no man has seen God and lived, so we don't know. And it doesn't matter either because, first of all, if we followed, It doesn't matter. If you want to say who was Jesus in the flesh, I can definitely tell you that. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I can't go because I can tell you, you know, where did he come from? What colors were the people at that time that we were talking about? And so, therefore, they were black-skinned people. Mm-hmm. They weren't mixed European mulatto people in the Middle East at that time. Mm-hmm. At that time, they were all dark-skinned people. So we know.
People. Come on, man.
Well, that's let me tell you this.
Work, man, so I'll see you later.
Okay, my friend. Thanks for calling
all
again.
Right,
okay, St. Peter's Basilica, you go in St. Peter's Basilica and look at the earliest paintings of Christ, and I'll guarantee you it'll shock you. He wasn't rosy-cheeked, okay?
It won't shock me, but I know that their pictures are black and brown, but the only reason that is because the earliest church was in Egypt, and Egypt was a black country, and so every country that or group of people that accepted Christianity made Jesus in their own image, and so that's the only reason why those
that's not true.
Earliest relatives
that is
Jesus
not true,
are
Alex. Just because you said
yes, it is.
No, just because you said it is not. Hey, look,
okay.
I will be right back. Oh, hold on. Hold on. Don't go nowhere. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
8 hours of talk time before another vote, time in which leaders hope to complete work on an agreement to handle other votes on presidential nominees.
ABC's Vic Ratner at the Capitol. A bipartisan plan in the Senate to prevent sexual assaults in the military. New York Democrat Kirsten Gillibrand is heading up.
Medicare and the U.S. Health and Human Services, Health and South from Medicare to Washington.
Hello?
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
And we're back here on the air one more time with our callers on board talking about what's on your mind and giving you a little bit of what's on our mind. And this is Afternoon with Tracy and Friends here on WSOM, 600 AM on your radio dial. And I am really laughing at things in the chat room and some things that were being said. So that's it's amusing. I wish you all could get in our chat room and hang out and make your comments there as well. And but give us a call here at 330-781-9600 or 1-347-945-5229. And we have an unlisted caller. Unlisted caller, you didn't speak when I brought you up before. You're coming across as your number is blocked. So if you want to speak, go right ahead. You're up.
I'm just hanging out. You know, I'm just taking the
call. Are you on the local line or are you on the internet line?
On the local line.
Yeah, no, this is on the internet. This is an unlisted call on the internet.
Oh, okay. Well, basically, Jeff, what I was doing was I'm just hanging on and just
okay.
Instead of me calling.
Yeah, I might have to hang you up if I get another call in there because we only have two lines on that line, but that's okay. You hang on till I hang you up.
All right,
buddy. Okay, 330-616. You're in the air.
Hey, my name is Travis Simmons, also known as the Big Funny. I got a show on Blog Talk called Funny to the Moon. And what's on my mind is I started asking people last week, asking, you know, older brothers and sisters, what advice would you have for any young teenagers so they don't get Zimmermaned? And the response they would all do would just like to tilt their head down and just shake it slow. But I came up with something. I think the only thing he could have done to save his life would have maybe been if when he left 7-Eleven, he dialed 911 on his own ass. Hey, 911.
Don't cuss, man. We're on terrestrial radio, too, so.
Okay. Hey, 911.
We can't do that.
Okay. Hey, 911. Just in case someone calls up and starts describing me, I want to describe you to myself first, you know?
Well, here's the thing. The safe thing is drive to the store and drive home because you have less of a chance to cops will kill you than you do a crazy night watchman somewhere that, you know, that's not even authorized. But, you know, it was a crazy situation. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Seattle, Washington, where the weed is legal and the marriage is equal.
Yes, you're right. Yep, they made that happen out there. Did President Obama give you a call personally? Say, I'm so glad you're all out there doing this thing right now, huh?
You know, what's interesting is, the truth of the matter is that it's been legal now for about 7 months. And I actually smoke less weed.
Okay.
Than I did. I mean, I'm a comedian. I smoke every day, okay? And I'm saying I smoke less now that it's legal. Because, you know, because I no longer have to get over high before I go someplace. I can get high when I get there. Because it's legal. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And honestly, but think about all of our young brothers and sisters who are put in prison and given a felony and then made to not be able to vote, not be able to on a jury just because they had a dime bag of something that actually benefits many people in positive ways.
Well, there's no doubt about it, but you can't. But you also cannot deny that on the flip side, there are a lot of side effects of weed that are not desirable side effects, and that's not
like
something
what?
We should be.
Like what?
It slows your brain down after so many years of use. And
does it really?
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Look at the long term studies.
So.
Oh, that's an absolute.
I know some old
friend.
People who snore. They just so you know, there are studies that actually show that marijuana prevents Alzheimer's.
Okay. Now, Alzheimer's
actually,
has nothing to do
and
with
actually reverses it. Reverses
we're,
it.
We're not talking about forgetting. We're talking about slowing down. We're talking about being dull-minded, not fast in thought. And that's what we're saying. I know people that were potheads, per se, got up in the morning smoking, went out at noon smoking, come home at night smoking, and then smoked before they got to bed. Okay, and today, hey, man, how you doing? What's up? What's up? You know, and it's okay if that's what you want to turn out to, but it's not a good thing. And it's not a good thing for kids to be involved in.
I don't think the kids should be involved in a whole bunch of things. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that as an adult, for instance, I was talking to a lady who had breast cancer. She was trying to explain the medical marijuana. And she said, well, what happens is when you're on chemo, the chemo makes your food taste like metal. I said to her, so what, you smoke some weed and it stopped tasting like metal? She said, no, the weed just helps you forget it tastes like metal. So
yeah, I mean,
the munchies
is certifiable. So,
but there are also other things too. For instance, diseases. When you have a disease, that's really your body at dis-ease, okay? If you smoke some marijuana, it gets rid of the dis, and it puts you at ease. And so there are probably like 30 or 40 different things, everything from getting rid of migraine headaches to just like a munchie thing. But also, every type of weed don't give you the munchies. You know what I mean? Some actually generate quick thought.
While you're high, that's a possibility. But like I said, over the years, THC has a downing effect and a dumbing down effect because you just said it calms you down. Well, in its calming down, it also deadens nerves and it deadens thought as well. So, I mean, you know, it's you're not going to convince me of that one. I'm well aware of it. Okay, having been a tech in a forensic toxicology lab, I'm very familiar with most drugs, you know, that are older than, you know, the last 15, 20 years. So the thing is that I'm trying to say is I'm not buying that.
Right, and what I'm saying is the jury is still out. The jury's still out on that.
No.
Because there
no,
are
the
people who say it helps
played.
Them. You think
it
so?
It does help them. There's no everything on earth has been made for a reason, okay? So there's nothing on earth that doesn't have a purpose. But abuse
well,
of anything.
Well, I'm not conceding that.
Huh?
I don't think everything has a purpose.
Everything has a purpose. Everything
purpose?
Has a purpose. There's nothing without a purpose on earth. God created everything with a purpose. It has its purpose, whether you know it or not. We don't know about a lot of things because we dumbed ourselves down by not having that relationship. But the thing is, God made
every herb of the field and said that it was good for men. And so, therefore, yes, it has its purpose.
Is this a religious show?
No, it's not, but I'm a religious person. I'm a Bible-believing person. Let's put it that way. I'm not very religious at all.
But the Bible, you're an absolutist on the Bible.
I am absolutely a great person to talk to about it if you want to hear something from it. Yes.
Okay, but what I don't – okay, I grew up religious, and as I got older, I read more of the passage that than the ones that were instructed to me or the ones that the preacher would, like, hopscotch around until he got to the part about the tithing, okay?
Okay,
and as I read, and as I read more of it, I as an adult, I recognize that there were rules for slavery, rules for rape. And I just thought anything that had rules for slavery is bad.
You're going too far. But rules for slavery, there were rules for slavery because slavery was not like the slavery that black people suffered in America. Biblical slavery was there. Not only that, you did not stay a slave all your life.
Okay. Yeah, but that book was used in America to justify and to give slavery strength. And even in places like Pennsylvania in the North, you could not be a slave if you said you were Christian. But if you said you were not Christian, you had to stay being a slave. And I suggest that we just forgot
I don't
why
know
we were
anything about that one. I don't know anything about that one, but I'll say it like this. You are correct. Christianity was used to keep us under control so we didn't fight and try to get away. Yes, but it ended up being the same mechanism that delivered us as we got a hold of it and we really did pray to that God. And that God set us free. Now, they kept us still in bondage by political meanderings here, but that's another story for another day. You don't have to you don't have to serve a political party. Okay.
Who?
You don't have to do that. And that's your choice if
that,
you put 100%. Yourself if you put yourself in that slavery and bondage.
Well,
I just
all
say
things
no.
are like that though, aren't they? But all things are like that. Meaning the Democrats say forget you. Republicans say forget you, and the Democrats go, oh well, okay, that is a good cop, bad cop, okay, I'm all over that, but they're both rooted in religion, right? So the Zimmerman, so for example, Zimmerman said the same thing black folks say, it was all part of God's plan, and I wouldn't change the thing.
And anybody
plan.
That says that is a fool. I hate to tell you that. And no, that's not a religious thing to say. It's not a good thing to say. It's not a biblical thing to say because that's not what God says. He says that you have to watch so you don't enter into certain things. And I don't want to get into a whole thing on Bible. I still got Alex and an unlisted caller and a local caller on the line too. You guys can chime in at any time. But one thing I have to say is this. You got some bad information on what the Bible says. And true enough, you can get some bad information from people, especially if they are the people that are the, the people that first were used, the Bible was used on to keep them in slavery.
Right.
That, because they don't know, they don't understand it. You cannot read an English book, a book in English that was meant to be read in the Middle East and then not have the Middle East interpretations of the words that you're using and understand it. It's not possible.
Well, I agree with that. I looked up one day because somebody asked the question, how many times the word unicorn is in the Bible? You know how many it is, depending on the version? 5 to 9, depending on the version. It's 5 to 9 times. And that blew my mind. And when I heard that there was, like, a Jesus-like character in three other different religions from, like, thousands of years, and they all had 12 disciples born of a virgin, and December 25th, and I'm like, oh, it's a remix. That was what surprised me. Okay, I grew up really, really religious, like Lutheran, Baptist, and Methodist, and would, like, bounce around to the different places and had to, like, kind of figure out, you know, like, which one was true. And then I just figured, well, one of them, they drip a couple drops of water on your head, and the other one, they pour a cup, and the Baptist, they try to drown you. And so they all thought they were right. You know what I'm saying?
Well, see, those are methods, and those are that's why you have denominations. When you have denominations, you have separations. And so once again, like I said, you have some bad information because of somebody's method of describing Christianity. We all have a problem.
But isn't the real truth that you don't believe in 2,000 gods and I don't believe in 2001?
I mean, here's the thing about me. You can't say it to me because I'm a studier. I know where all the other gods originated. So there I go. I'm not a very good person to ask that question. I understand where polytheism comes from. I understand where all the gods that reigned over certain areas came from. And it doesn't fit with what most Christians will teach, so I'm really out on that. But I understand it. I absolutely do, and I would dialogue with you if you want to get on my Facebook, and we can do that because I can't turn this into Christian radio right now. You know, because
I was all about Trayvon and trying to figure out what to do, and I had no option other than call 911 on yourself. And to the people who keep saying, he should have ran home, hey, one thing you ain't supposed to do is to take the unidentified stalker back to where the kid who was waiting for candy was. Okay, that's what I would say.
Thank you.
About that.
That's what nobody gets
to do.
Well, here's the thing. Nobody thinks because this is the one thing that I say about this case. Mr. Zimmerman never found it necessary to identify himself to Mr. Martin. He never said, I'm Block Watch, I'm here, you look suspicious, or you look lost. Can I help you? He's got
a
gun.
Can I give you a ride?
Can I give you a ride?
Can I get you out the
rain? Can I show you which way to get out? You know, but mm-hmm. none of that's done. He's waiting to make this man be a victim or somebody that has broken into houses around here. And so that's what he's trying
predator.
To do.
He's a predator waiting to pounce.
Precisely in my book. So, I mean, I'm not going to argue with that one. But, you know.
Jeff, something though, Jeff?
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Everything that he said is on camera now. I mean, everything that he said is on camera. And if they get him in a federal court, he is automatically going to lose because none of that makes any sense. And that's the reason why they're talking about getting it in there in the first place. They probably just waited on this trial to be over. Well, naturally, they wanted to see what the turnout was going to be. But
I don't know about that, brother. We'll see.
Me either.
Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. A 300-pound potbelly pig was found abandoned in a Super 8 motel room in Liberty Township without food or water. It is the same pig found in a motel room with its owner and a bunch of drugs last month. The pig is now being taken care of at the Animal Welfare League. The owner of the pig is expected to be charged with animal cruelty. The Youngstown Fire Chief says it responded to 9 house fires over the weekend, all close to one another. 6 of the 7 fires were on the south side of the city, and one of them was on the east side. 2 of the fires were at occupied homes, but no one was hurt. A firefighter was injured and is being treated for second-degree burns at St. Elizabeth. He's in good condition, though. The Heritage Thermal Services says an accident caused their plant to send a massive cloud of ash over the east end area of East Liverpool. According to a spokesperson, it happened during a routine incineration process. The community wants to know what's inside of the ash, and the EPA is investigating. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
The excitement of the new Chevrolet is back. 600WSOM.com wants to put you in the virtual driver's seat of today's most advanced vehicles and to give you a chance to win the
Everyone faces challenges in their lives.
Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Copeland Oaks is celebrating a half century as the area's premier retirement community for active adults. To mark the 50th anniversary, Copeland Oaks is inviting you to a community picnic on Friday, July 19th from 4 to 8 p.m. The old-fashioned picnic will offer something for everyone. Twist and shout at the Sock Hop. Reminisce as you visit the classic car and bike display. Visit with friends at the Ice Cream Social. Enjoy a traditional hot dog roast. Kids will want to visit the bounce house and inflated obstacle course. So, grab the kids and neighbors and head for Copeland Oaks in nearby Sebring on Friday, July 19th from 4 to 8 p.m. This evening of fun and festivities is free for everyone. Copeland Oaks, an engaging and vibrant place to call home.
+1 800 530 WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
And we're back once again, afternoon with Tracy and friends. Jeff in the air chair, Alex, unknown caller, and all of you, and funny to the bone, you are in the chat room as well as my local callers.
Funny to the moon.
Funny to the moon. I say funny to the bone. I'm looking at somebody sent me a picture of a bone. I'm sorry, because we had discussions before on giants and things like that in the earth that you see in your Bible, but you never hear anybody teach on it, and that's so funny to me. Go ahead,
giants.
I didn't want to cut nobody off, but getting back to what I was saying, the reason why I believe it's going to be different in federal court is because of the things that they overlooked. Am I still on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because of the things that they overlooked and didn't pay attention to. And the things that they overlooked and didn't pay attention to and completely ignored is the reasons why they're talking about getting him into federal court. And when they get him into federal court, you better believe that it's going to be different. Or if they get him in a civil court, he got to get on the stand. It's going to be different.
I don't think he's going to federal court. There's no reason to take him to federal court right now. But the civil suit is what I'm looking forward to. And I do want to see Zimmerman make a whole lot of money, and I do want to see the Martins sue him and take that money. Why? Because they were denied their son for the rest of their lives.
You're right. You know, that would be a deterrent. You know, that would be a really, really, really good deterrent. All right, y'all, I'm going to disappear, but y'all have a good day. Great show, man.
Funny to the Moon, when do you come on? We'll let you plug it on.
We got a thing called the Funny to the Moon Classroom. We really never tell nobody when it is, but we just do it when there's an issue. We were doing it every day, but now we just do it whenever. I hear you. Take it
all
easy,
right,
y'all.
Man. We'll take a look at you. Good luck to you and your break a leg in your endeavors.
In the words of Red Fox.
All right, bro.
All right.
In the words of Red Fox.
All right.
In the words of Red Fox. Afternoon, dummies.
You big dummy. All right, we got everybody.
You
still on, man?
Yourself. You got to dial 911 on your own self. You have to dial 911 on your own self, Jack. You got to dial it.
Well, anyway, now I got two unlisted callers sitting in my queue right here. If you want to say something, go ahead, give it up. Talk to me. Alex, you are live and large in charge there as well. We had to take it where we took it right then for a minute. And, oh, boy, I wish this – we got this guy in the chat room who is a nut. His name is Lethal Migraine. And he just got all kind of crazy stuff to say on the fringe of things. He thinks he's very intelligent. But, you know, and that's probably why he doesn't call in, because he's taking Abraham Lincoln up on his thing. He says, he says better to remain silent and let people call you a fool than it is to open your mouth and speak, whereas then remove all that, right? Oh, man. Alex, come on. Tell me what's going down there in Florida. They still acting crazy. Or was that my unlisted caller? Hey, listen, all you guys, you know, I'm really going to have it out with you one day. I'm going to roll up on you wherever you're at, and you ain't even going to know, and I'm going to follow you down the street.
I'm just listening, Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm at work and I'm just listening, that's all.
I got you, bro. I got you.
I was in the van earlier and I was able to say something, but now I'm at work, so I'm just listening.
Oh, I got you, bro. That's all good. I still got another
right.
unlisted caller. Alex, you are live as well. Okay, then that's okay. I'm okay. I just want to go through some things. I really wanted to go through some other things other than Trayvon Martin today. And I smell a rat here in how the DOJ came out all boisterous yesterday about the outcome of this thing, and he was at the NAACP convention, and oh, he just made a show, and you know. Rah, 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 sis, boom, bah, is what's going on here, you know. And so I went on my Facebook page, and I posted some things that really, really came to light. But one thing I wanted to talk about is somebody posted something about Jeremiah Wright. And it had Sean Hannity, who I agree with some things that he does politically. I'm probably about a 50% political guy with Sean Hannity, because I'm conservative. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get upset with me, because I am a conservative. But at the same time, he just has been really pushing things a certain way. And he attacked Jeremiah Wright because of something that he believes in called Black Liberation Theology. Now, I'm not going to get into that today and press that situation, but I wanted to let somebody know this. We have a whole lot of clubs around called the ITAM Club, which are for Italian Americans. We have a lot of Croatian clubs, which are for people that have come from Croatia and are now here in America. Whoa. Let me shut that down. Okay. And you also have veterans clubs that are for veterans. And Sean Hannity was trying to denigrate Jeremiah Wright for saying that he wanted to uplift the black community. So my point was this. There's nothing wrong. Black liberation theology is what he was attacking. And it is to help build the black community. It is not to separate from white people or anything like that. That's not what it's about. It's about the self-determination. It's about the self-controlling of your own set of people that look like you. Why? Because the Italians came over to this country, and they took care of each other because they were definitely, were not treated fairly when they first got here. The Hungarians, the same. The Croatians, the same. Many of them were able to, you know, associate into society, come into society, and assimilate. But black people have not. Plus, we didn't have the economic base to be able to create those organizations to help each other with. Because the minute somebody saw that we organized ourselves to become economically independent, then we got knocked down. We got fired off of jobs. We got lynched, killed for your big mouth. If you wanted to run for office, you can't have no N-words in office. And it's just too much. You have to understand. You have to understand. This is different existence than you have ever been through. So when you hear somebody like Jeremiah Wright, who I don't agree with on his theology part of black liberation theology, I do disagree with him. I mean, agree with him on the idea that black people have to really, really get involved in their neighborhoods more than they have. We have to change this. You have to change our conduct, what we allow as a societal standard. We have to be willing to stand up and say, no, gangs, you're not going to take over the neighborhood and make everybody afraid to be in their backyards and things like that. And that's what black liberation theology deals with. It also deals with education. It also deals with financial security, business, all types of things that people aren't going to give you. They'll find every reason to not supply your particular, you know, project. Now, it is what it is. You have to have it together enough for somebody to want to put into it. That's true. But at the same time, just like in this area, in our area, for all of you all that listen across the nation and even across the world, we thank you for tuning in. We are in the process in Youngstown of creating a community of faith credit union. The community of faith credit union is an urban credit union, but it's not limited to that, of course. But at the same time, you have some well-acquitted people that are putting this together. And they've had some difficulty, some, I don't know how much, as they come on every now and then, they come on the radio with us, and they make the cattle call for people to get involved with the credit union, this community of faith credit union. Now, they need to raise $100,000. And if they get $100,000, and if I'm incorrect about that amount, they will be able to get $1.2 or $1.5 million from the government to bolster the credit union up. It's needed, especially in these times when people have lost jobs and their businesses are suffering because of the constricted economy. This is what I mean by you have to save yourself. You have to save yourself. So it doesn't matter unless you can put it together and get the money to do it. You can't have financial independency if you won't be independent, if you won't stop trying to be on the system. Do you want a paycheck or a government check? That's the question I ask you. And that's for everybody. Black, white, yellow, brown, purple, I don't care. Do you want a paycheck or a government check? These people have been out here hollering about ending capitalism. Ending capitalism and the American dream. Because the American dream is not about outcomes. It's about opportunities. And yes, it can be made by all. Look at all millionaires and billionaires of all colors that we have. That's what capitalism has done. So I want you to think about that. And we'll be back after we do a few more messages here. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends, Jeff in the air chair. We'll be right back.
Shaquille O'Neal for new Icy Hot Advanced Cream.
I know all about living with pain. After 19 years of pro ball, man. But now I'm feeling awesome. New Icy Hot Advanced Relief is the real deal.
Icy Hot Advanced Cream has two maximum strength ingredients to last up to 50% longer. Works great on shoulders, backs, knees, even arthritis. Icy to dull the pain and hot to relax it away.
Come on now. Advance past pain and get on with living.
New Icy Hot Advanced. Available in cream and patch.
Pain over.
Use only as directed.
Ivy Woods Manor. Experts in the care and rehabilitation of patients with dementia and Alzheimer's disease.
News Talk 600 is working to help put our valley back to work. We've come together with local employers and training centers to connect job seekers with potential new openings and new careers. Visit our website and click on Features. That's where you'll find links to local companies and training centers, and you can even submit your resume right online. Putting our valley and America back to work. Visit 600WSOM.com.
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S., and now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at your local Bosch retailer today.
Get the best out of the rest of your golf season at Golfsmith's annual clearance sale. Hurry in to score some of the hottest gear of the season for the lowest prices of the year. Save up to 60% on select Nike men's and women's apparel. Plus, get huge savings on great gear like Adams drivers, Titleist iron sets, Cleveland wedges, and GPS watches from Bushnell. Before you go out there, get the season's best savings in here. Only at Golfsmith's clearance sale.
For almost 10 years, I've been a lineman for the power company. It's hard work up here on the wires, long, dangerous hours. And at times like this, when storms roll through, I really appreciate how much people rely on me. I know that service is important. That's why I also serve in the Coast Guard Reserve. In the Coast Guard Reserve, our crews respond to rising floodwaters in the Midwest, oil spills in the Gulf of Mexico, and disasters like the Haiti earthquake. The Coast Guard Reserve is a challenge I gladly take on. Because my country needs me. It has a lot in common with my full-time career. And just like other first responders, firemen, police officers, and EMTs, we do our best work when things are their worst. I have no doubt I was born for this.
You were born ready to give more to your country. The Coast Guard Reserve is ready for you. Learn more at GoCoastGuard.com.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard in cooperation with the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
When you want your morning cup of coffee to come with the latest local and national news, tune to News Talk 600 WSOM every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. The latest news when you need it. And Youngstown's best talk, News Talk 600 WSOM.
For almost 10 years, I've been a lineman for the power company. It's hard work up here on the wires, long, dangerous hours. And at times like this, when storms roll through, I really appreciate how much people rely on me. I know that service is important. That's why I also serve in the Coast Guard Reserve. In the Coast Guard Reserve, our crews respond to rising floodwaters in the Midwest, oil spills in the Gulf of Mexico, and disasters like the Haiti earthquake. The Coast Guard Reserve is a challenge I gladly take on because my country needs me. It has a lot in common with my full-time career, and just like other first responders, firemen, police officers, and EMTs, we do our best work when things are their worst. I have no doubt I was born for this.
If you were born ready to give more to your country, the Coast Guard Reserve is ready for you. Learn more at GoCoastGuard.com.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard in cooperation with the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
When you want your morning cup of coffee to come with the latest local and national news, tune to News Talk 600 WSOM every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. The latest news when you need it. And Youngstown's best talk, News Talk 600 WSOM.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
We are going to come at you politically. I wish I could do everything possible to sabotage your agenda because your agenda is anti-American, because your agenda is anti-free market and anti-private property, because your agenda is an attack on the individual. I personally will do whatever I can to sabotage such an agenda, to obstruct it, to divert it, because I'm coming after you all the time.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM. This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
And we're back once again, afternoon with Tracy and friends. Alex, you still there? He must be out working or doing something else. Unlisted caller, I know you're at work, and I have another enlisted caller. You're hot if you want to talk. And so that was all good. Another thing that I wanted to talk about is I wanted to go a little bit further with this thing. I was trying to answer a question about Sean Hannity, who I respect Sean Hannity. I don't have a problem with Sean, except I don't agree with him because a lot of people just have really, really, really goofy ideas on what one thing means and what one thing means in another. He was trying to say that if you saying that you want to build the black community, that automatically you're if white people said that they want to build their community, they would be racist. Well, here's the thought that I have to say. White people have the communities because they're the majority people. They don't have to build up their own. Now, they will in about 15 years. That'll be a little different story because they will cease to be the majority race in the country, and they will themselves become a minority in like 10 to 15 years from now. So, you know, I understand what you're saying, but understand this. Every other subdivision of people have come to America, and they've done well. All have pulled ahead of black people. Why do you suppose that is? And don't tell me we're not as smart as the rest, because I don't want to hear that, okay? Because that's not it. We have a strange caller. Yes, caller. 720,
you're
in there.
I know you're not talking about me. I'm not a strange caller. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I didn't know you wanted to let anybody really know who you were.
Like my voice would not tell you who I am. That would be really bad. Hi, Jeff.
Where are you at? You were right across from me, then all of a sudden you just disappeared.
I'm on the road again.
Oh, okay. I thought you were doing the magician thing here.
No. I just hope we get it right, Jeff. You know, we've come so far for us to allow society to take us back.
I agree.
And people have died. Blood has been shed. And we are going to have to take leadership up, and we're not going to have to follow the people who are the self-appointed leaders, but people who God has called to lead us out of this wilderness.
I can't argue with that whatsoever. Can't argue with that whatsoever. Yeah. Somebody else wants to add something in here with you. 314, you're in there.
I don't see no hope for him.
Okay.
Up here in St. Louis, where they got two predominant all-black failing school districts, the court said that the students can go to the adjacent school district, and the failing school district has to pay. Well, hell, they came up with a plan. Well, the failing district, not one of which is Normie, is sending children on a 40-minute bus ride all the way out into White County again. I never seen such this is just totally ridiculous, Tracy. It's just ridiculous. When are black people going to take care of their own problems and stop trying to throw them on the other folks?
Oh, I hear you. Well,
they're going to have to in a minute, because pretty soon the other folks ain't going to take their problems because they have their own.
Yes, they have
their
own problems. This don't make any damn sense whatsoever. And the parents, they only, you know, first place, these whites moved out into these areas. They are responsible. They work hard, pay taxes, build up their schools, and make sure that the board follow the directions of the parents, the community, on the direction that the children education go. Now you want to indulge them with your problems. It don't make any sense.
Yes, it does. It makes sense.
It don't make
sense. Bianchi, if I send you my bills, will you pay them?
No, I ain't gonna pay your bills.
It's the same concept.
And in my district, I've been in this district 43 years. We built new schools. Let's build a school named new school named it after Barack Obama. They put infrastructure throughout the district for internet and broadband. They have just remodeled the high school, put in a brand new sports facility, brand new windows, brand new roof, and I'd be damned. Here they go taking the children and busting them on a 40-minute ride out to Francis Howell School District. And them white folks out there are mad.
You know what it is, don't you? We still got the ice is colder and the water is wetter syndrome still. Instead of taking care of understanding that we can do what we need to do, all we got to do is put some hard work into it.
All right?
Am I lying?
Well, you're telling the truth, but I would think that here it is, 2013, we would know better. And then they use these catchwords. Oh, it's good for diversity. Well, goddamn, we tried that back with
Bucky. Whoa. Bianchi, we're on terrestrial radio, dog.
Well, dog darn it, then.
There you go. Gosh darn it. Gosh darn it. Okay, go ahead, Bianchi.
Yeah, gosh darn it. Where's my friend Slick at?
Slick will be in tomorrow.
I miss him.
Who he call Slick?
Sticks.
Oh, Sticks.
Yeah, Slick will be there tomorrow. And I'm glad he's got a lot to say, too, because, I mean, and they're coming from a whole other world. But we're selling our people out every day. We can't keep them and sell them at the same time.
Well, yeah, you're right, Tracy. Then, see, they don't understand. Now you call repercussions in other areas. First, the children should be excelling in academics. But when the children are involved in after-school extracurricular activity, now you don't destroy that. They can't participate in it because they're spending all the time on the bus.
But we don't even stress education.
Anymore.
In our homes, when do you go inside of inner-city homes and you see a library of books and making children read in the summertime? Why in the world would we not keep them on an agricultural calendar, knowing good and well we ain't planting no cotton, no corn, except in upon Jeff's neighborhood. They like to plant corn in Jeff's neighborhood on the corner. And we ain't plant nothing. We don't even go outside.
Well, I tell you what, just about time you figure that you don't live long enough where you don't see just about everything. And lo and behold, here comes something else down the street.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
But we saw it coming. I mean, it was inevitable. But the problem is they manufactured this for our education, not for our good.
Well,
is manufactured.
I'm going to the meeting, and I'm going to stand up for the white folks, and I guess I'm going to be looked at like a damn fool. Oops, like a darn fool.
There you go.
You know, I got an uncle like you.
You do?
Yeah. I won't let him call in because he won't act right.
Not your uncle that was in China and all.
No, not that uncle. I'm talking about Alex's uncle.
Oh, okay.
We can't let him call in because he won't act right. You can't cut, baby. I love you, though. I got to have a statement.
Well, you know, you can take only
off.
So much, Tracy.
And you know what? I feel your frustration. Don't think I don't, because tears fall up in my eyes when I see the demise of people that look like me. And then they come and bite our heads off when we try to save them.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm tired of being called.
What kind of message are you sending to these? What kind of message are you sending to these African American children?
You ain't good enough.
All the time, and that's where we got to change that mess, because that ain't so. None of that is so, and it's ridiculous. You know, and
I want to tell you before the end of the show, I read a posting from your daughter.
You did what?
I read a posting from your daughter on Facebook the other day.
Yeah.
And I was truly amazed by the amount of self-confidence and self-focus and God esteem she had. I was really impressed by that. And you and your wife have done an excellent job. Because for her to be a young lady and still be in her mid-teens or her late teens, it's a hard thing to do today, to be raised the right way and then try to stand on the principles that you were raised on.
No doubt about it.
We got some good kids out there.
We do. And, you know, and all of her friends, you know, with different degrees of everything, but, you know, you have to know how to raise a child. Oh, we got to go. It's just like we can't do nothing with Lethal. He was raised wrong.
No. I'll see you guys.
All
hey,
right,
Jeff,
everybody.
Hey, Jeff, have a good one. I'll be there tomorrow with Slick.
All right, we'll see everybody later. Afternoon with Tracy and friends. And you know what, Trace, though? We're going to get out of here, but you know that's your boy. I'm so sorry for him, but... And then he just wasn't raised right. But somebody that was raised right, I want to give condolences out to the family of Mr. Claude Bentley, a teacher in the Youngstown school systems that did make a difference. And his service will be later this week. And we just want to send that shout out to the family. They're very close to me. And I love them very much. And he was a big brother of mine. And wish the family as much as possible. God bless. See you tomorrow. Tracy will be back with Slick.
From 2 to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com.
That's TRACEY and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. He says he's made mistakes and that he needs help, but the mayor of one of the nation's largest cities says he won't resign. ABC's Alex Stone has the story.
A day after one of San Diego Mayor Bob Filner's closest allies called for his resignation.
Sexual abuse and this behavior is not normal.
Filner says he won't resign.
I am not. We have too much to do for the good of the city to do that.
Three former supporters have now laid out specific claims of sexual harassment against him. Filner says the claims aren't true.
We need a fair and impartial investigation to determine the facts.
Members of San Diego City Council are now demanding his resignation. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The Washington, D.C. area is embroiled in a heat wave like much of the East Coast, and residents in one of the suburbs may have to sweat it out without water. Officials in Prince George's County, Maryland, are telling people to stock up on bottled water and to fill their bathtubs because it's shutting off service to fix a broken main.
We don't have a definitive time on when the water will be restored. But we're looking that this will carry to the end of the week and possibly into the weekend.
County spokesman Scott Peterson. Gas prices are up 15 cents a gallon this week, the biggest jump since February. Experts are blaming a drop in production and unrest in Egypt, but a Senate committee isn't convinced that's why.
Many of our people want to know why prices are so high here at home when